And when we take a look, a closer look at the gift of God, when we take the time to open the lid and examine it, I think what we'll find is there's actually quite a bit more to the gift of God than we originally expected. There's quite a bit more inside than we originally thought there was going to be. And as we examine the gift this morning through the gift of through the story of a man named Joseph, I think we'll find that the presence of God, the gift of the presence of God, is a little bit, contains something a little bit unexpected. So turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Let's read those together. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. As we consider God, the gift of presence today, I want to highlight a couple things. The first thing is the significance of the term God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. This is a phrase that you've probably heard before, especially if you've been in church before. We talk about God being with us at Christmas. There's a special focus, a special emphasis on that. And I want to, the significance of this phrase, God with us, sometimes gets lost on us. And I want to say how amazing it is that even in the womb, even before he was born, Jesus made an amazing statement about the character of God, about the nature of who God is from the womb. God with us, not God far away from us, not God distant from us, not God passive towards us, not God away, away and distant and in a faraway place, not God away, but God with us. That's an amazing thing. Because a lot of us tend to see God as somebody passive, as somebody distant, as somebody who is not close, as somebody who checks in every once in a while, right? Like an uncle that calls to see how you're doing every now and again. No, this statement right here, right at the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, is that God is with us. God is close. God is here. God is with us. And there's another implication here. A lot of times you'll hear Christians, when they talk about God and why they're Christians, they'll talk about having a personal relationship with God. Has anyone ever heard that? Have they even said that before? Have they described, a lot of times when people say that they are Christians, it's because they'll say, oh, I have a personal relationship with God. And they say it so often that it almost becomes rote. Oh, why are you a Christian? Because I have a personal relationship with God. And it becomes sort of this phrase that we don't really think about as Christians, personal relationship with God. We don't consider how weighty that statement is. The fact that we as human beings are able to have a personal relationship with a deity. Think about that for a second. A personal relationship with a deity, with a God. That was unheard of to Joseph and to Mary and to the people of their time. That's unheard of in different parts of the world today. The idea that we can have a personal relationship with God is actually completely unheard of. But the reason that we can say that as human beings is because God chose to be personal with us. He became a person so that we could have a personal relationship with God. Think about it. I can't have a personal relationship with this stool, right? I can't have a personal relationship with this box. I can't have a personal relationship with a table. I can't have a personal relationship with an abstract idea of what is good and what is bad and what is moral. I can't have a personal relationship with a theology book. I can't have a personal relationship with anything but a person. You can only have personal relationship with a person. And so it's significant that God chose to come this way. He chose to come in such a way that people could sit beside him around a fire and people could pass the bread to him at a table and people could sit and have their feet washed by him. He chose to come in such a way that people could touch his hands. People could see his footsteps in the dirt as they walked behind him. He came in such a way that people could probably even smell his hair. He came in a way that was personal. And I want to raise the question today. If he came and he wanted people to know him as a person, what does this say about how God thinks that people can come to know him best? What does this say about how God thinks that people come to know him, like really know him? Through a person, through people. That's significant. I want to turn now to Joseph and his part in this story, because he has something to say to us about presence and the gift of presence as well. The story tells us that he was resolved to divorce Mary quietly. And, you know, and this means that he had made up his mind. He had a plan. He knew what he was going to do. He decided, you know, and he had decided on the best course of action for him and for Mary. And actually, the plan to divorce her quietly was quite merciful, because back in their day, when you were betrothed, a fancy word for engaged, you were actually already legally considered that person's spouse, even if you didn't live with them. You were technically, legally already married. You just didn't live together yet. The marriage became official when you actually went, you know, when the bride actually went and lived at the man's house. But for all, you know, for all intents and purposes, Mary would already be legally considered Joseph's wife, which is why the narrative says that her husband is Joseph, even though they're just betrothed. So really, in this context, Mary's actions, the fact that she is pregnant, would imply that either they had sex before they were married or she had gone and had a sexual relationship with someone else. That's what it would look like from someone else's perspective. And by all rights or accounts, it was either premarital sex or it was adultery. Either way, she was guilty. In one way, Joseph could be considered guilty too. So really, his plan to divorce her quietly is actually quite merciful, because she could have been stoned for her actions. People could kill her. She could be executed for adultery. She could be executed for even premarital sex in a lot of ways. So his way is actually quite merciful. And even though he had had this plan in mind, he had resolved to do this, he decides overnight that he's actually not going to do this. And he wakes up and he decides, you know what? No, I'm going to marry this girl. And in doing so, I'll talk about that later. Never mind. And he changes his mind. And that's actually pretty significant. So let's take a look at what changed his mind. Let's take a look at what the angel says to him. I want to highlight two things. The fact that the angel calls him Son of David, and the fact that he says to him, do not be afraid. Son of David. So, but at this point in the narrative, David is a very, very, very distant relative to Joseph. That's like saying Elise, granddaughter of, I don't even know what my ancestors' names are, to tell you the truth. I don't even know. But it would be like me referring to myself as somebody's daughter from centuries and centuries ago. It's a bizarre way to refer to someone, actually. somebody who doesn't have a royal title or anything. This is a simple, humble man. And the angel refers to him as the son of David, refers to him by the name of one of his ancient ancestors. And you have to wonder what Joseph is thinking when the angel calls him this. Why son of David? Why son of David and not son of whatever his father's name is? And it's because the angel is highlighting that Joseph is tied to this royal lineage, to this this kingly heritage. And that's actually pretty significant. This is a special child that's going to be born. Jesus is a special child that's going to be born. And by legally recognizing Jesus as his son, Joseph would actually tie him legally to that kingly heritage, to that messianic heritage and that messianic line. But Joseph needs to legally recognize Jesus as his son before that can happen. If not, that connection's not there. And what I think this tells us is that the angel is signaling to Joseph that actually it's not an accident that it happens to be Joseph's betrothed that is pregnant. It's not an accident. It's not a coincidence. If Joseph is asking, why my fiance, why my betrothed, this angel is saying, actually, this is on purpose. It's not just Mary that's been chosen. It's you. Not just Mary, you, because you are a son of David. You, your ties matter. Your heritage matters. You were chosen on purpose. This couple, both of them, chosen on purpose. And what this tells us is that God doesn't place people in their families, in their neighborhoods, in their cities, in their life situations by accident. He actually places them quite on purpose. Jesus was placed into this couple's lives quite on purpose. Both of them. God never places people by accident. The second thing I want to highlight is do not be afraid. The angel says to Joseph, do not be afraid. And when we consider all that Joseph had to think about, it actually makes a lot of sense. It cuts right to the heart of Joseph's decision when the angel says, do not be afraid. At the very heart of it, there was this simple question. There's this simple question. Do I marry this girl or do I not? But surrounding that decision, kind of like the pile that we made around this simple gift, around this simple decision, was a bunch of other stuff that Joseph had to consider. He had to consider cultural expectations, cultural standards. He had to consider family responsibilities. He had to consider societal pressure. He had to consider, and then he had to consider the hurt. Because no matter what the situation is where, you know, you're engaged to someone, whether it was arranged or not, that's got to hurt. That somebody else, you know, that this person might have gone and slept with somebody else, right? There's conflict. There's pressure. There's hurt. There's a whole lot of baggage involved in this decision. For Joseph. But I think the angel knew that right at the heart of this issue was fear. Fear of conflict, fear of what would happen if Joseph would marry this girl, fear of the unknown, because I'm sure that Joseph had plans for his first year of marriage and it didn't involve raising somebody else's son. Fear of the unknown, fear of reputation and what people would think of him, because if he married this girl, then people would assume that he was the one who impregnated her, which meant that they both engaged in premarital sex. Fear of guilt, fear of reputation, fear of all these things. There's fear at the heart of it. And I would suggest that when we build piles and when we let stuff bury the simple and meaningful gift of Christmas for us, when we let family conflict, baggage, expectations, whatever, when we let all that stuff crowd out the real meaning of Christmas for us, I would suggest that it's actually rooted in fear. Fear of conflict, again. Fear of being hurt. Fear of being rejected. Fear of what people will think if we don't do all these things. Fear of judgment. Fear of pain. Fear of a lot of things that force us and pressure us to make Christmas into this huge production that it when it really isn't. There can be a lot of fear that we don't even recognize in our lives until it bubbles up. But I think that when we feel pressured or when we feel stressed or when we feel all like we have to go and go and go and do and do and do, I think a lot of it is rooted in fear. Because we are afraid of what will happen when we stop. We are afraid of what will happen if we open ourselves up to other people. We are afraid of what will happen if we were actually present and vulnerable with other people. We are afraid of the things that will happen when we stop. So Joseph chooses instead, when he wakes up, to marry Mary. Joseph recognizes that God is doing something in his situation. He doesn't really know, because when an angel tells you, like, that's pretty clear, right? Pretty clear indication that God is doing something. Joseph doesn't really know what it's going to look like. He doesn't even really know at this point what God is doing or what his plan is for this child. He has no real, he has a vague idea, but he doesn't really know. But he knows that God is doing something. And God is not asking him to do something extravagant or over the top. God is just asking him to stay with Mary. God is just asking him to be there in Mary's life and in Jesus' life. God just asks him to be present. So what does Joseph do? He chooses to stay, and he chooses to be present. And in doing so, he gives Mary and Jesus a gift. He gives them the gift of his presence in their lives. When I was beginning my journey with Jesus, my Christian journey, there was a woman named Mary Ann. I know a lot of Mary Ann's today, but this is a different Mary Ann. It was a woman named Mary Ann that I met because she was a youth leader at our youth group. And she was there with me from the beginning of my Christian journey. She's always been there. Whenever I needed a ride to youth, she showed up at my doorstep. She was there. Whenever something happened at home and I needed to talk to someone that I trusted, no matter what, if I picked up the phone, she was there. If I had questions about God, if there was confusion about who God was or what I was supposed to be doing or how I was supposed to live my Christian life, she was there on the phone or at Bible study or at youth group, ready to listen and ready to answer. And whenever there were things that I was struggling with, that she didn't really know quite what to do with, she was there with prayer. And I'm sure behind the scenes, she was there with prayer all the time. I just didn't know it. And most recently in my life, she was here in this auditorium for my ordination service. She's been there this entire journey with me. And I have to say that when someone who doesn't have to be there chooses to be there, it reveals the heart of God in a way that no sermon, no book, no music can. It reveals the heart of God in an incredible way. And as somebody who has received the gift of presence, of someone else's presence in my life, I can tell you honestly what a blessing it is to receive that gift. What a blessing it is to receive the gift of somebody who chooses to be there. God gave us the gift of presence. He gave us the gift of his presence in his son Jesus. He gave us the gift of his presence by his Holy Spirit. But when we receive this gift and open it up, we find that actually there's a gift inside of it. And that gift is meant to be given. It's the gift of us, the gift of our presence to others, the gift of our compassion, the gift of our empathy, the gift of our love, the gift of our prayer, the gift of us, a gift that once we receive the gift of God, we are meant to give to other people. See, we're not just receivers in this church. We are meant to be givers. We are meant to be givers. We are not just here to receive and receive and receive. We are meant to give of ourselves just as God gave to this world of himself. We are meant to give of us all that we have received from God. We are meant to give our love. We are meant to give our hope. We are meant to give our light. We are meant to give all of these things because these are the things that we received from God himself. And when you receive a gift like that, you don't keep it to yourself. You don't keep it to yourself. You give, and you give it out to those who need to those who need the gift themselves. We are not just receivers. We are meant to be givers. And that's why in this season, I want to tell you that the people in your life don't need all of this. They don't need our baking. Well, sometimes they do. They don't need our gifts and our shopping and all of the stuff that we think we need to do at Christmas time. They don't need that from us. They need the gift of us. They need the gift of us. And that's why instead of all of this excess, all of this other stuff, that's why we give the gift of showing up. We give the gift of showing up to Christmas recitals. We give the gift of showing up for dates with our spouse. We give the gift of showing up to Christmas dinners with relatives that we don't really like. We give the gift of showing up and being present instead of all of this. We give the gift of being at Douglas Park Elementary School with lunches, school lunches for hungry bellies. We give the gift of showing up at the Cloverdale Christmas Hamper Project and helping people find gifts for those that they love and providing gifts to teenagers who really, really need to know Jesus. That's why we show up and give the gift of listening and prayer at Life Group. That's why we give the gift of us. That's why we show up. Because choosing to be present, choosing to be there when we don't have to be there, is actually the very heart of what God wants us to give this season. Matthew chapter 28 says this, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations," right? If you're a Christian and you've been in church before, you've probably heard that. "Go therefore into all the world and make disciples." And I want to suggest a little bit of a different interpretation this morning. Go therefore into all the world and take up space. Be present. Take up space. Go, therefore, into all the communities that need a little bit of hope and need someone to be there to care for them. Go and be present in that community. Go, therefore, into that home where somebody is struggling with sickness or illness. Go, therefore, and be present with them. Go, therefore, into the schools where kids need a little bit of hope and a little bit of light and a little bit of laughter. Go, therefore, and be present. Because if God believed that he was best known through a person, maybe people know God today because of people like us. Maybe God wants to be known through his people. Maybe God wants to be known through you and me and us. So the question for today and for really these next few months is this. Where is God calling you to be present? And perhaps the better question is, who is God calling you to be present with? Who is God calling you to be present with? And as we conclude with prayer today, I think it would be really great if we could think of one person that's maybe been on your mind, that's been going through a bit of pain or a bit of hurt or a bit of loss or grief. And I think it would be good for you to pull out your phone or your bulletin and actually write it down. Write down the name of that person who needs you to be present with them. Write it down. And then commit this season to calling them or to booking a coffee date with them or to inviting them to our Christmas party or the Christmas Eve service and spending time with them. Commit to being present. Because we need to give the gift of us. We need to give the gift of our presence to others. It matters. And I think it's important for us to make that a priority this season. Because when you have a gift, you don't hold it back and you don't keep it for yourself. You share it with others, right? Let's pray. God, thank you for today. Thank you for who you are, for all that you are doing in our lives. Thank you for the people that you've called us to be. And I pray, Jesus, that as we go into this week, and as we even right now think about people that we can be present with, I pray, Jesus, that you would help bring names to mind, bring people to mind, God. And Lord, I pray for any of us in this room right now that need presence, that need someone to be present with them. I pray for those who are grieving, those who are hurting. I pray for those who are just starting their journey. I pray, Jesus, for you to speak clearly to them. And I pray, Jesus, for you to make yourself real to them through a person. I pray, Jesus, for you to help us give the gift of us. I pray, God, that you would help us to be present this season. And that, God, we wouldn't get caught up in all the other stuff. But that, Lord, we would be attentive to be who you want us to be and to be with who you want us to be with. We love you and we thank you for all you're doing. In your name, amen. Amen. Thanks for joining us this morning. We'll see you next week.